Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer, Breast Health! The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way.
And Abundantly Well, Seven Medicines, The Wise Woman Way, the newest book in the Wise Woman Herbal series.
So exciting.
In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses.
TheWiseWomanSchool.com. Join us there for colorful, instructive, easy video courses, including Easy Herbal Medicine with Susan Weed, Happy Knees, a cancer diagnosis, adaptogens for long life, and Abundantly Well companion course, wisewomanschool.com.
You can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Justine. It was great spending time with you today, and welcome, Sarah Ellen.
Aw, thanks, Susan. How are you doing this evening?
I am looking at a just gorgeous card that Julie created as a thank you card for our time at Herb Hill with Gretchen. So there's a spiral, and growing out of the spiral is Monarda Didyma. And we harvest our year's supply of Monarda Didyma to go in our comfrey infusion when we're at Herb Hill every year. And so there it is right in the middle. And then Gretchen has a medicine wheel with special round mandalas that a potter made for her with the directions, and Julie has drawn those in.
Oh, how special. Aww.
And there's hypericum flowers, music notes, and three portraits. Julie, Gretchen, and me. Now, usually they say a portrait is a face with something wrong with the mouth. But actually, these mouths are pretty good. These portraits have something wrong with the nose, but that's okay. She's laughing because they do.
Oh, that's awesome. The nose is always
portraits are so hard. If it ain't the mouth, it's the nose. And if it ain't the mouth or the nose, it's for sure the ears. So Justine was over today, and Julie gave her presentation on the Astor family. And I teased that before we started the filming, I said, Siri, how many members are there in the Astor family? And she says, the Astor family is a very rich and very large family with many members.
Yeah.
Speaking, of course, of the A-S-T-O-R family, the Astor family, not the Astor family. She always has a hard time understanding me. So we just had a deliriously fun time. And as I'm sure you know and saw, Luz Clara was here this weekend, and we had a delicious time together. And trudled around with the goats, and her friend Angelica was here, and as we were walking away, look at that, there's a hummingbird. Oh my gosh, it's so late for a hummingbird to be coming for a drink. I mean, that little thing, they're coming to the feeder you gave me, my love, which I have to fill up 3 times a day now, and I have bought other hummingbird feeders because there's so many hummingbirds this summer.
They love you, too, so much.
They love sugar waters, but they love. I'm just a sugar water pusher.
Yes.
During dinner, we were watching them fighting over it.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So her friend Angelica, Luz Clara's friend Angelica, says, oh, why did I just take a little video of you two? So I haven't seen it yet, but I know that Luz Clara and I did, like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, just a short little video that was posted somewhere. Goddess only knows, my computer can't find it. But other women have found it and seen it and said, oh, this is so glorious, including you, right? Or was it just that you went to our website?
I saw it. Jackie Otter shared it with me. She knows I'm not on Facebook, and she was able to share it with me anyway. And, oh, what a fun video. You are just, oh, you're always so beautiful, but the two of you together, it's like you're absolutely glowing, and the light behind you, it looks like, oh wow, I can tell you're in the magical Catskills. It's just wow, what a video. Everyone check it out. It's on Luz Clara's Facebook page, I know for sure, because that's where Jackie clipped it from to send it to me.
So then Sarah Ellen emails me and says, what do you think about Luz Clara being at the Linden Conference? And Susan says, oh, poo, I don't know. Da-da-da, I didn't get that. Money. Right. And then, you know, I say to myself, well, why don't you just, like, get over yourself and, like, find out instead of deciding for someone else, because you really hate it when other people decide for you what you do and don't want to do. And so we ask her, and she's interested. She hasn't said yes yet, but she's interested. She might do a presentation at the Linden Conference. And I ask her, Linden grows in Chile. And of course, I soaked a Linden infusion and did my whole wrap. You know about turmeric? Yes, I take it. I said, well, we're going to stop taking turmeric on here. I started it. It's so much better as an anti-inflammatory. And she was amazed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is, and I have communicated a little more, so I've got an email to send your way. I'll send it after the show this evening. So,
good.
Very,
very good. So, not only did we do some videos about the Astor family, but we did a little promotional video for my long COVID course available at wisewomanschool.com. Justine told me that she recently just went for a physical checkup and that she said to the doctor, you know, my daughter and I have had COVID several times, and we just, the last time just didn't seem to be able to really shake it. I think we have long COVID. And this female doctor looked at her and said, you're delusional. There's no such thing as long COVID.
What?
So we thought that it would be good to tell people there is such a thing as long COVID. Bernie Sanders, in fact, has just introduced legislation to set up a task force to study long COVID. And if millions of Americans are affected. And I actually do have a course on it. It's not just COVID for a long time. It's a totally different thing. The virus gets into your brain, your nervous system, your cardiovascular system. We really go through a lot of different ways that you can help yourself. If you have long COVID, if you think you have long COVID, whether or not your doctor believes you or doesn't believe you. Meanwhile, the Olympics are going on in Paris, and I have in hand a letter that was written August 1st, and it says, dear, and these are all elected officials, today, Thursday, August 1st, 2024, we witnessed a man fighting a woman in a boxing ring at the Paris Olympic Games. We will see this happen again tomorrow on the largest stage in the world at an event that should symbolize the best of humanity. Male violence against women has become a sport. This should never have happened and should never happen again. Women's rights organizations, feminist organizations, sports organizations, female Olympians, and lawyers are calling on Congress to hold hearings to consider additional actions that can be taken to apply maximum pressure against the International Olympic Committee and all other sports organizations that have supported them in condoning these barbarous practices, including scrutiny of the role of the United States Olympic Paralympic Committees. Our organizations have joined together. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 organizations that have joined together to end this cruel and inhumane disregard for the basic safety of women. We recently sent a letter, July 31st. You have failed to protect women or the principle of fairness in sports by permitting males to compete in combat sports against women. We urge the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee and members of the United States government to use every legal and diplomatic opportunity to protect female athletes and demand that these athletes who are truly male are removed from competition. As you may have heard, Sarah Ellen, on August 2nd, a woman entered a boxing ring. A man hit her, I quote, harder than I have ever been hit in my life. She took off her gloves and left the ring for fear of her life. Is this what we want at the Olympics? I am so glad that this is finally getting world attention. You've heard me complaining about this for over a decade, as it has been creeping in. Is it going to require a woman being killed before we say that women are women, men are men, and anybody who wants to be something different is free to be anything different, but they're not a woman or a man? They're not. You can be anything you want. I totally stand for your right to be whatever you want. You want to have surgery, you want to take drugs, you want to call yourself this, that, or the other thing. I'm there for you. I protect your right to do that, but I do not in any way protect your right to go into places that are for women. Not women's prisons, not women's bathrooms, not women's sports, not women's rituals. No. And this is my understanding of how it's done everywhere in the world. I have traveled extensively. Certainly there are places in the planet that I haven't been. I'm not an anthropologist. However, I read a lot of anthropology. And you know me. I'm the kind of person that when I'm somewhere, I don't just sit back and wait for things. I stir things up. I ask questions. If I'm in New Zealand and I'm invited to be at a marae, I find out what's going on at the marae. I find out that women are not allowed to speak in the marae. So when I'm invited to speak, I stand up and say, thank you for allowing me, a woman, to speak. Every woman should have the right to speak here, not just one who comes from a faraway place. I see and understand and call out woman hating wherever I see it, however it's dressed up, no matter what fancy equality language it is dressed in, it ain't. It's woman hating, pure and simple. Well, that's my little diatribe for the night.
Oh, I'm so happy I spoke to that tonight. I did hear about that. It just absolutely disgusted me. And that it happened on the Olympic stage, just absolutely disgusting to me. Absolutely, in every way, horrific. So I am glad, too, that it is now in the international and national spotlight. And it's crazy. I couldn't believe that that was allowed to happen. And I'm also glad that you spoke to the women's prisons, because it's my understanding that women have been raped and died because of this, because male inmates are allowed to be housed in women's prisons for simply declaring that they believe they're female and they want to be
in
a woman.
And men with penises and testicles are being housed in women's prisons under the rubric of equality. Women are being raped, women are being gotten pregnant, and these are going down as female-on-female rape because the men are, quote, women. They want to call themselves women, that's just fine. I have really no problem with it, but not in a women's prison. They go to a different prison. They go somewhere else. Unless they can act appropriately. And they don't. Let's face it.
No.
They don't. Story after story after story of women being hurt. And this is something that I actually had to tell the Tai Chi teacher the other day. Because I felt that what was being asked of Julie was too much for her. And I said to him, I said, you know, we talk about the differences between men and women. And we talk about how men who tend to be more muscular, like soft chairs, and women who tend to be more lipid, like hard chairs. So we look at the yin and the yang. We're looking at yin and yang. It's part of our Tai Chi practice, right? Yin and yang is a big part of Tai Chi. How are these differences different? And, of course, the yin and yang always has the other within it. So that it becomes overwhelmingly something. It turns into the opposite. There's no hard and fast separation there. And yet, everywhere in nature, we see an understanding of what is female and what is male. Or as someone said, if nature didn't know what was female and what was male, we'd all starve to death. Meanwhile, rather than eating, people are trying to get it from a multivitamin. A third of adults in the United States take a multivitamin or mineral supplement with the goal of maintaining or improving their overall health to supplement their nutrient intake and because they hope to prevent health problems. They do not have a standard or regulatory definition, these supplements that are being taken, so they can contain any number of nutrients and any amount of those nutrients, so they have widely varying compositions. But Most contain all or most of the vitamins and minerals that are essential to human health. Some of these vitamins and minerals are recommended for certain people during certain times of life. For example, getting folic acid before and during early pregnancy reduces the risk of birth defects. Other nutrients, including iodine and iron, are also important for a healthy pregnancy. Vitamin B12 is recommended for people over 50 and for those who follow vegan diets. And the age-related eye disease study found that B12 supplements did slow the progression of age-related macular degeneration. Research has shown that multivitamin supplements might help maintain or enhance cognitive function. But do they affect mortality? This question was examined in a June 2024 paper published in the American Medical Association. And the cohort study included 124 healthy U.S. adults. In other words, getting on to 500,000 healthy adults from three different cohorts who were followed up for up to 27 years. They were the National Institutes of Health AARP Diet and Health Study Cohort, the Prostate, Lung, Colorectal, and Ovarian Cancer Screening Trial Cohort, and the Actual Health Study Cohort. The median age of participants at the start of the study was 65 and a half years, and by the end of the follow-up period, 164,000 of those had died. They looked to see if multivitamin mineral supplement use affected mortality risk after adjusting for age, sex, activity, smoking, alcohol use, etc., etc., etc. Analysis showed that daily multivitamin mineral use was not associated with a lower risk of all-cause mortality, did not affect the risk of death from heart disease, did not reduce the risk of cancer, and had no effect on cerebrovascular diseases. So there you have it. Drink your nourishing herbal infusions. Forget the pills, gang, because we haven't done a study with 500,000 people with nourishing herbal infusions. And so what we have to say about them is purely anecdotal. And yet the anecdotes that I hear are that people who drink nourishing herbal infusions and don't take supplements are superbly healthy. What kinds of things do you hear?
About people who take supplements?
People who are drinking nourishing herbal infusions.
Oh, okay. That is a totally different story. Yes. I hear amazing things. I mean, the people I know that drink them rave about them. It's like once they have been sharing the nutrition with themselves on a regular basis, it doesn't take long before they really don't want to be without it. You know, my husband, for example, he really notices when he is without them for one day, 2 days. I hear people equate it to like a plant that looks like it needs water and then how quickly it can be lifted up on under its own capacity once it's nourished. I hear all types of things, like almost, yeah. It's hard to say just anything other than, yes, please, more.
Right. We would have to say that the most adverse comment we've heard is, I don't like the way comfrey tastes. Well, I can't stand the smell of nettle. Or, you know, right, and I say, drink it cold, drink it hot, put some miso in it, put some honey in it, add some fruit juice to it, add some coffee to it, add some whiskey to it, do whatever you have to do. You remember the apprentice who's desperate for her mother to be drinking infusions, and her mother wasn't having any of it, partly because her mother was an alcoholic, and her mother walked around with a drink in her hand basically all of the time. And I said to her, does it have ice in it, this drink? She says, yes. I said, good. Freeze the sugar infusion into an ice cube tray and drop those ice cubes into her drink, and that's actually how she got her to start drinking nourishing herbal infusions.
Wow. I love the ice cube idea. I've shared that with many people, and really, it's been an invitation for them to feel like, okay, I can do it on an ice cube. But I don't know that anyone actually relied on that once they made the infusion. Like everyone that I've shared infusions with, when they taste it, they look at me and they're like, doesn't taste like much. It's like, okay, well, great. Then it should be easy to drink it. It's like, I don't know what people are expecting, like for it to be difficult, maybe because it looks green or looks like muddy water or something, if it's nettle. But when they taste it, most people immediately are like, yeah, it's actually pretty refreshing. There's nothing put-offing about it. So yeah, I don't know anybody who's actually relied on the ice cubes, but I have used it as an invitation to encourage people to try it, and it works.
It works.
Yeah.
So we want to remind you that Sarah Ellen and I are very busy collecting presenters for the Linden Conference, and that you are not restricted to Linden. It could be any slippery, slimy thing you like, slippery elm, marshmallow, all of that is just fine. Did I tell you about the aha moment I had watering my marshmallow plant?
No.
Last year at the Midwest Women's Herbal Conference, I bought from Linda four plants, a purple basil, a lovage, and two marshmallows, a big one and a small one. And I enjoyed those plants very much last year. But basil, of course, it's an annual. We ate the basil. It's gone. But the lovage is back, and the marshmallows are back, and the marshmallows are blooming. The big one is really big, and the little one, I'm going to have to pot it up. You know, I grow in pots out on the deck because the deer and the woodchucks are just too crazy out there. And I was just talking to Corey, and she said the deer, there's so many deer this year that they are now eating things that they never eat. She said she has a woodland garden, and they took her Solomon seal to the ground, the deer. So I'm watering these beautiful marshmallow plants and really enjoying them. They're flowering. They have these beautiful flowers. And I suddenly realize that Linda taking my books, dumping them in a box and sending them back to me would be the equivalent of my ripping these plants out of the ground and throwing them in the trash, right?
Oh, wow. Yes, absolutely.
If my mental state was so deranged that I could not tell the difference between a person and something that person has had contact with, that I would be very concerned for my mental health, and I am very concerned for Linda's mental health, that somehow her being mad at me, we're assuming she's mad at me, right? We don't really know. All we know is she told me to get out, and then she called the cops.
Uh-huh.
So maybe she loves me and just decided to tell me to get out and call the cops. I really don't know. But I do know that anyone who can confuse her anger at me or whatever it is that she feels with my work is not in a mental state that can be trusted. She can have any kind of gripe she wants with me. She can think I am a horrible person. She can decide that I am whatever. That's neither here nor there in terms of my work. That's her stuff. It has nothing to do with the validity or the usefulness of my books. In fact, what is Linda saying? Let's assume, let's make more assumptions. We have nothing to go on, real. So we're left making, let's assume that she not only sent these books back to me, but she's not going to sell any more of that bitch Susan Reed's books ever.
Mm.
Is that going to hurt? Is that going to hurt me?
Mm.
Let's face it, I sell thousands and thousands of books every month. Linda, not selling a book or two isn't going to hurt me, but it is going to hurt every woman who now doesn't have access to that information. This is a good thing to do? To reject me? She's going to hurt all other women? This isn't what I want.
Right. And she did it at the conference. We've spoken to that. How many women did she deny, really rob, of the opportunity to be and spend time with you? You know, I know many women are like me. They were there because of you. That's why I would go to that conference, was because you were there. And so I know, we've already talked about this, many women were in tears when they got there and that opportunity had been taken away from them, an opportunity they paid for.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, I would love to see those women, you know, write and demand their money back. I know they won't get it, but I'd like to see them do it anyhow.
Right. Well, and here's the question, you know, how do you trust your money paying for entry to that event again? Because you could pay for it and you could get there and have the speakers to be different all of a sudden. And after you brought up the point about their contracts, you know, when I read the fine print about it, it does say that. You know, all of this is subject to change. So how is anybody going to feel comfortable signing up for that and paying what usually is like at least $600, you know, for what used to be at least good food. But now, you know, the food has even changed. So if you can't count on the presenters being there, and the food isn't what it used to be, then I don't know. And especially, like you said, the mental state.
Do you suppose she's going to have the nerve to serve nourishing herbal infusions?
Oh
my gosh. You know, that's a huge idea. Don't do it. Get rid of it.
Oh, my. I don't even know how she, like, I don't even know how she stands in this space that she's created for herself, because she's all about, you know, if nourishment works. And, you know, I just, that's certainly a space for nourishing herbal infusions. And I don't see how she can walk away from those, you know, if she can be that way in the way she treats your book. Certainly, I don't think she'll be able to extend it to the plants, because like we were just talking about with infusions, once you've been drinking them for long enough, nobody's going to be able to separate you from the nourishing herbal infusions.
And apparently I wasn't the only one who thought that the nourishing herbal infusions were watered down.
No, they are definitely watered down. Yes, I can.
Because we drink them all the time and we know what they taste like.
Yes, and I've been in years past.
It's like if somebody takes Welch's grape juice and adds half water to it, and you drink it and you say, oh, this is watered grape juice, and they say, no, it's full strength. You know it's watered. I mean, you can taste it.
Right. Absolutely can taste it, yes. And I've participated.
Or it was just that the herbs from Mountain Rose were so awful, and they are pretty awful, that it tasted like watered down infusion. That's also a possibility.
Well, I can't say this year, but in the prior year I was asked to help make the infusions, and it was definitely not the normal process.
I hear you. So I am on my way next month out to California to a big goddess gathering with my dearly beloved ZB Zsuzsanna Budapest, the author of the acclaimed Holy Book of Women's Mysteries, originally published in 1975 as a feminist book of lights and shadows. That's the year I bought my copy. And I think I met her in 1976. She initiated me as a witch that year, and it has been nonstop love fest ever since then. She is going to be with us and talking about what we're going to do at the festival. In one of my Facebook posts recently, I mentioned a beautiful ritual that Zsuzsanna created. It's a ritual that I find so moving, and yet it is so simple. Women stand in a circle, and Zsuzsanna says, I am Zsuzsanna, daughter of... daughter of, and as far back as you can trace your matriline. And so it goes around the circle, each woman saying, I am her name, daughter of her mother's name, daughter of her grandmother's name, daughter of her great, as far back as you can go. I've never been in this ritual that I have not been crying by the fourth woman. So I don't know whether or not we'll do that ritual at the Goddess Festival, but there's a lot of other really fantastic rituals that are often or almost always done there. One of them is my favorite is the Blessing of the Self ritual, which is fantastic, done by yourself, but again, just amazing and stunning when done with a group of women. So stay with us until 9 o'clock or go do something and come back at 9 o'clock. That's East Coast time to hear what Zhuzhanna has to share with us tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
Aww.
Well, I've been talking, haven't let you get a word in edgewise. What's going on with you, Sarah Ellen?
Aw, you're so sweet. Thank you, Susan. Well, first, I just want to jump down to something that you shared at the beginning, which was the Wise Woman Bookshop and going there for the long COVID course, which also at the Wise Woman Bookshop is the opportunity to sign up for this week's free teleseminar that you're going to be doing about the Beyond Signatures Weed Walk. So I just want to make sure that we remind everyone about that. So head to the Wise Woman Bookshop. If you put a slash after wisewomanbookshop.com and do courses, you'll find the COVID course. If you go to wisewomanbookshop.com and put that / teleseminars, you will see this week's free teleseminar with Susan Weed. So go to the Wise Woman Bookshop today and get signed up for those things.
I think the courses are at Wise Woman School.
They are. And also, while you're there, you can hop over to at the shop
bookshop, and I think the teleseminar is at the bookshop. I don't do it much, so, but I don't think they're at the same place.
Okay.
I think the long COVID course is at wisewomanschool.com, and that signing up for the free teleseminar is at wisewomanbookshop.com. But I could be wrong. Try both.
COVID is at both. Yeah, the teleseminar is only at the bookshop. But, yep, if you go to the bookshop, you will be able to find the post-viral syndrome on long COVID as well. That's at the school and the bookshop.
Oh, cool, groovy. All right. Yay.
Yeah.
Good thing somebody knows what's going on.
Yeah, and they're both on Facebook to link to. So if all that's too confusing, just go to Susan's Facebook page and you'll see easy links to both of them. But super opportunities for this Thursday. So that's really all I wanted to make sure everyone knew. Go sign up for Thursday. Yeah.
And I've been, saying, wow, this is really going to be fascinating, doing a weed walk, not in person, doing a weed walk, not even on Zoom, doing a weed walk on the telephone. Okay. I've often said somebody should do weed walks at 50 miles an hour going down the road, but perhaps I'll be doing it one better. But we're not going to be talking about specific plants. We're going to be talking about patterns. Implants. We're going to be talking about learning how to recognize the patterns within the plants. And so the information that I'm sharing is actually going to be useful for anybody anywhere in the world, because we're going to begin to shift our consciousness into the consciousness of plants. And from there, we'll be able to hear what they have to say to us. This is one of the workshops I was going to give at the Midwest Women's Herbal Conference, where I'm so rudely expelled. And because I keep my commitments and my promises, I told everyone that I would do that workshop, and I do it for free for all of you. And that's this Thursday at 9 o'clock East Coast time, 6 o'clock West Coast time, and I don't know what time it is in Portugal or in Saloniki or in Adelaide, but I bet you can figure it out. Come and join us.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Anything else you want to share with us?
Well, I see three hands up. The only other quick share I'll give is the hawk was back today, and this time he came to my front, or she, I'm not sure, but the hawk came to my front window and was just literally looking, landed on a branch, and we were making eye contact. So I'm just having fun with the hawk. That's what I'll share, and I am going to send you the pictures, but yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Julie, did you say that you saw a falcon out on the deck?
I wouldn't know what it was, but it was striped raptor bird.
It was some kind of raptor, some kind of bird of prey, and it had stripes, but not like as big as an eagle.
No, it was a small one, but we did see a turkey vulture.
We did, was it that? But turkey vultures are pretty big.
It was huge.
Oh, this was a pretty big thing.
No, it was the same day, but it was over at the other house.
Yes, we saw the big turkey vulture, but what you saw here on the deck was small. There are falcons, and falcons are raptors, but they're kind of smallish birds for all of that. Mm. We went out on the deck, and we found two woodpecker wings.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
I was saying something, and Julie said, yeah, I saw this raptor sitting on the edge of the deck.
Oh.
And then, of course, the next day I went out, and ouch, I found the head of the woodpecker, like, stabbing my foot with it.
Wow.
You'd think I would put two and two together and go, wings, there must be a head somewhere. But no, not until I stepped on it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, blessed be to the woodpeckers and the hummingbirds and even to the grackles, who I will admit to having a hard time liking. Because they come in like flocks of 8 and 10, and they fight each other, and they're big. And they break everything. They knock everything down.
Oh, I'll have to look them up. I don't know about them.
Yeah. So I say to myself, you wanted birds, Susan. They're birds. You have to like them, too. Even if they're rude birds, you run around in a gang. And they, of course, chase the hummingbirds and the woodpeckers and everybody off when they're around. So what I've taken to doing, they like to do it best, and I've taken to bringing a nice stash of suet on the far side of the house away from the feeders for the small birds.
Nice. I love it.
Okay. So I am ready to answer those questions if you've said everything you want to say.
Yeah, thank you. So we have three hands up already, so I'll just remind everyone that if you have a question for Susan this evening, all you need to do is press 1, and that will get your hand raised in the queue. So go on and press 1 if you've got a question this evening, and we will go to our first raised hand in the 907 area code. In the 907, you are live with Susan.
Hello, Susan. This is Kai from Alaska.
Hi, Kai. I am well. How are you?
I'm getting there.
Getting there.
Very appreciative.
You're starting to really notice the dimming of the light.
Yes. Yes, I am.
And many people say, Llamas, what, the beginning of August? There's some holiday, but when you're up there, whoa, do you notice what happens at the beginning of August? Because it's suddenly, like, suddenly much darker.
It is. It's getting there. I love it when it's midnight sunshine.
What can I help you with tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm really, really appreciative of what you said about the boxing, because I haven't heard any women talk about it. And I remember calling a radio show several years ago about a woman that fought a man and he split her head open. Shattered her skull. And people didn't wake up back then that this abuse was happening to women. So I'm very grateful that you brought this up, because, and it was, and so well said. So well said, Susan. Thank you.
you are welcome. It's irritating to me when people say to me, "Oh, you must be phobic. You must be prejudiced." No, loving women make me hate anyone else.
No, it's throwing women back at the end of the line again.
Yes,
that's how
I see it. Yeah. So let's keep our voices strong, and if you haven't already gone to Women's Declaration International and signed on for a real equality piece of legislation, check them out.
I will check that out.
They are just wonderful.
I will check that one out. I'm calling about nettle seeds. How do you know when they're ready to pick?
It doesn't really matter.
Oh.
One of the first things that humans do when we domesticate a plant that we want for seeds is we tinker with it until it ripens all of its seeds at once. Because that makes it a whole lot easier for us. Jacinthe, the origin of corn, is a small plant with a small ear of corn with 8 to 10 kernels, which ripen over a period of over 2 weeks. Now, we wouldn't like that if we got an ear of corn and only part of the kernels were ripe. We'd say, ah! So that's the first thing we did with Jacinthe. We made it have all of its seeds ripen at the same time, and then we made it bigger, 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 because we also do that, and sweeter, 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 because we also do that. In the wild, the seeds are not all going to ripen at the same time on any one plant. Not only are they not all going to ripen at the same time across a community of plants, even on one plant, they're not going to ripen at the same time, and even in, for instance, one flower. So if you look at, say, for instance, a Queen Anne's lace flower, some of those seeds are going to ripen before other ones in that one flower head because, well, yes, of course, that flower head has a lot of little flowers within it. So we can eat nettle flowers. We can eat nettle seeds. We can eat green nettle seeds. We can eat ripe nettle seeds.
Beautiful.
So it doesn't really matter when you harvest it. Plants want their seeds to leave home.
Perfect, right. Mm-hmm.
Especially perennial plants want their seeds to, like, leave home. So they have mechanisms for spreading their seeds, including what we call shattering. And that means if you wait until the nettle seed is good and ripe and you touch the plant, it will shatter and the seed will fly everywhere.
Mm.
Because that's what the plant wants.
Right, right.
Most of the time, what we do when we're harvesting wild seeds is we wait until the first of them are really ripe and we harvest knowing that a lot more of them are going to ripen up as we dry it.
Got it.
I do like to separate the leaves out from my nettle seeds. Of course, when you dry it, there's going to be some leaves, and then I just go through and I sort the leaves out because they have a different taste, and I like the grainy taste of the nettle seed.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not like some terrible thing would befall you if you left the leaves in and powdered them up so that they're part of your seed mix.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to make medicine from your nettle seeds, or are you going to eat them?
I think I want to eat them. Sprinkle them on food and things.
Mm-hmm. All seeds, which are the embryos of plants, contain anti-nutritional substances, including phytates and lectins, which distress the human digestive system, distress all mammals' digestive systems, because seeds, you know, they don't especially want to be eaten. Now, plants that want you to eat their seeds put a big, fleshy, sweet thing around it, right? Like apple wants you to eat its seed, and it puts a really tough coat around the seed. So you eat the apple, and then the next day, far away from the apple tree, you deposit those apple seeds with a ready lump of fertilizer. Thank you very much.
Mm.
All right. So, but nettle seeds, which don't have such a thing around them, aren't. The plant doesn't want those seeds eaten. The plant wants those seeds to grow. And so they put these lectins and phytates and other stuff in those seeds to interfere with our digestion and to interfere with our ability to uptake nutrients.
Mm, I didn't know that.
So it is never smart to eat any seed raw. In fact, as you know, I don't think it's ever smart to eat much of anything raw unless it's meat, milk, fish, eggs, or insects.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I don't eat things that are raw. And for every one of them, there are things that we know about that, you know. For instance, it's considered really unsafe to eat any raw mushroom. Yes, even the ones
God.
From the store.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
We're definitely, like, stay away from the raw mushrooms. And just, you know, the whole idea that anything raw is superior is not substantiated.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
What do most people who eat wild seeds, like our ancestors, what they do? They parched them. Or they soaked them. If you read Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon, she is of the soak school. She recommends that any time you eat any grain, that you soak that grain first and pour off the soaking water.
Right.
This gave me palpitations when she was teaching at the Wise Woman Center, because I knew I was going to serve brown rice, and I hate soaked rice because it's like pudding to me. Not that I'm against rice, but I like rice pudding, but I don't want my dinner rice to be rice pudding. So with some trepidation, I served Sally my usual rice, which is Lundberg short grain, organic brown rice, which I cook and whey from my cheese making with nettle seed, plantain seed, amaranth seed, lamb's quarter seed, whatever seeds I have on hand. And ta-da, here we are at dinner, and she reopened the pot, and she looks at it, and she says, oh, what is this? Because it looks kind of funny when it's been cooked and whey with all of these wild seeds. It kind of looks like maybe there's a lot of insects. It's just it's like white speckles. So I reassured her, but I admitted as to not having soaked the rice. She said, oh, but you cooked it in whey, and that's even better.
Gotcha, yeah.
Right. So you can parch your nettle seeds, or you can just throw them in anything you're cooking, like I do, right?
Yeah. Or can you make a tea out of it?
Yes, you can make a tea out of it. I don't know what nettle seed tea would taste like. I've never done it, but you can. Nettle seed tincture is used by men who have prostate problems to help resolve them.
Hmm.
So that's why I was asking if you were going to make medicine out of it.
No. I was wondering, doesn't it have something to do with thyroid health?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I heard it somewhere down the line. You know, I have tons of nettle in my backyard, and I was like, I'm going to use those seeds for something. And I thought throwing them in food, but I'm not going to throw them into raw. Not going to do that.
Says that stinging nettle has nutrients that improve the health of the thyroid.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
it says, flaxseed is harmful to the thyroid.
I don't do flaxseed.
Flaxseed and flaxseed oils contain cyanogen, which is extremely harmful.
Wow, and how many people? Okay, wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and here's the food you shouldn't eat if you have thyroid problems. And first, of course, is the cruciferous vegetables, and then flax seeds. And oh my gosh, there's so many ads on this page, I can hardly see a thing. And they're also saying that tea and coffee are problematic if you have thyroid issues. Oh, I cannot even bear this website anymore. This is like a gazillion ads. Anyhow. Nettleseed appears to be perfectly fine for your thyroid.
Okay.
Literally,
Susan,
like
isn't
you said,
it one you
keep running and all over that page, just on top of the words. It's like, I don't think I've ever been in a site that's had that many ads before. Whoa.
But if you cook the cruciferous vegetables for a long time, doesn't that get rid of or lessen the goitrogens?
It does, very much so.
Because
from the little I could read behind the ads, it seems to be really getting into nuances. It's like coffee and tea. I would have liked to have read what they had to say about it, but I couldn't see it. Surely, if coffee and tea were difficult for people with thyroid, we would have, you know, a panic on our hands.
Well, yeah.
I think that it's probably not that bad.
I don't think it's that bad.
From the beginning, when I first started hearing about flaxseed and flaxseed oil, I was told by people in Germany that it's really dangerous and that Jeanne Boudig, who started the whole flaxseed oil thing, actually ground the oil at the bedside of the patient and gave it to them freshly pressed, like fresh, like seconds within being pressed.
And what happened?
And there was and that's how people started to think that flaxseed oil was healthy because of all work.
Oh, I see.
But again, they lose the nuance, which is it has to be ground within the minute before you take it. Once it's in a bottle, the bets are off.
Well, my thyroid, I told you, was messed up by this woman. She put me on this compounded thyroid medication that was so powerful it gave me AFib. And I was in the ER 16 times and blah, blah, blah. And I filed a complaint with the state against her. And I finally got the results from the electrocardiologist that you're in AFib all the time, but you're at the right weight. You eat right. And see you in 6 months, but I have to take this medication, which I'm distressed about. I tried to look up, is there natural ways to treat AFib? And it doesn't look like there is. I have to take the drug. I'm in AFib and I take the drug and see you in 6 months. So I finally found out.
What's nice is that along with the drug, you can take heart tonics like motherwort or passiflora or hawthorn. These are all perfectly safe to take with any heart medication.
Even
so, you don't just have to
sit
back and say, oh, I'm just taking the drug. And you say, all right, I'm taking this drug because I need to, and I'm also going to be doing something tonifying, helpful and healing for my heart.
Yeah, which I'm definitely doing.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And the blood thinner, because I have to take a blood thinner, which is like, that was like a wound when I take that. You can take, and it's the blood thinner that you don't have to worry about eating. You can eat anything. You can eat anything with K2 in it. Some of the other blood thinners, I don't think
you can. Right. And
yeah.
If you're getting mini hematomas, you tell your doctor, look, you need to adjust my blood thinner down because I eat a lot of greens in my diet.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Right. They usually assume that you eat no greens.
Well, this blood thinner, you can eat greens.
Good.
Yeah, you can. It's those, what is it, warfarin and cocumenin or something like that. That's the one that they don't want you to eat anything. You have to get a blood test every month. This one isn't. But it's like, Susan, this drug cost me over $500 a month.
I was talking at a conference about health assurance in contrast to health insurance, and someone said, my daughter has a very rare disease, and she has to take a drug that costs $10,000 a month to stay alive. I have to have health insurance.
Oh, unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable. So I hear you, and I hear what a wonderful work that you are doing to take care of yourself and to make sure that you're nourished and tended.
Yes. It's been a rough 6 months, but I'm finally coming out of that hole.
All right.
And I appreciate everything you say, and especially what you said today about the women. I love you for that. Thank you.
You are welcome. It's my passion.
Oh, I know.
To be here for women's culture, to create women's culture, to invite women into their culture, because so often we are separated from it, and the reconnection and the rejoining of ourselves to the culture is critically important for everyone's health right now.
Right, right.
It's not just a you know, little, oh, this would be a fun thing to do. No, this is like, people talk about saving the planet. We don't need to save the planet, but we need to save ourselves. And this is how we save ourselves.
Oh, God, yes, I got chills from that. Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome. Green blessings.
Green blessings,
thanks for
Susan.
Us. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Looks like there are three hands up at this time. Oh, four hands up at this time. We'll go to the next caller dialed in from the 831 area code. And 831, you are live.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Beautiful night and evening in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Balmy and warm. It's lovely. I have about
okay.
200 things to talk to you about. I'm so excited, actually. It's been a while. I've been meaning to call in for a while. So, first of all, agreed with the previous caller about the male boxer. just you mentioning that was epic because people are just being lied to all over the place. And I actually had an argument recently with a friend on social media because he's like, it's a man. And I was called hateful and accused of going down a rabbit hole and all these things. And it's just, I find it just so fascinating that the news media is pushing that it's such a lie. And so I just wanted to clarify a couple things. The vice president of the European Boxing Association came out and confirmed it was a man. And so did a doctor, longtime 15-year geneticist doctor. So it's not like this is some, you know, crazy idea. It's actually just the truth. And so the reality is two men are fighting in the women's boxing championships in the Olympics.
And the Olympics allows that because they manage to have their driver's licenses say that they are female.
That's crazy.
They do not have female bodies. But they have, an F for female on their driver's license. I don't know if you ever heard the kind of funny joke that I tell about the mom driving a little girl to school one morning, and she says, "Mommy, how old are you?" And Mommy turns to her and she says, "You know, that's rude. You don't ever ask a woman how old she is. It's just not the right thing to do." She says, "Okay, I got it, Mom." Next week, they're driving to school, and she says, "Mommy, how much do you weigh?" Mommy says, "Oh, wow, that's even worse than asking a woman how old she is. Like, you could ask, you know, how old she is and, like, survive that, but you do not ask a woman how much she weighs. That's terribly rude." "Oh, okay, got it, Mom." Right. And the next week they're driving to school, and she says, "Well, Mom, I know how old you are, and I know how much you weigh because I looked at your driver's license, but what I want to know is how on earth did you fail sex?"
That's a good one. I can't believe it. They have gender on animal stuff now. You know, what gender is your dog? I'm like, okay, that's not a thing. It's just nuts, and it's crazy how people follow with it. It's over the top.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. It's just, if you know, it's that nervous laugh when you see things disintegrating. It's really, it's not a natural laugh. It's a fear laugh, that laugh that I was just laughing.
Oh, 100%. No,
it is. It's real fear there. Yeah.
Here in Santa Cruz at our local community college, I've heard from 19-year-old women that they leave the women's bathroom, and as they're entering a women's bathroom, a man is leaving dressed up like a woman, and there's pee on the seat. And it's like, excuse me, women don't do that.
That's what I'm saying. You have to, if you want to say you're a woman, you have to act like one. You can't leave pee on the seat.
Pretty much. So I,
you don't have to talk in a high voice.
So thank you.
Can't leave pee on the seat.
No. We might actually forget to flush the period pee, but unless you're four. So, yes, thank you so much for mentioning that. Also, I just wanted to say I have a I just requested on Facebook if someone could share a link with the Goddess Festival thing, if somehow, because I'm not sure how to find it. It's just, I could look up Shijana, I guess, because you're probably friends with her.
Okay.
Here in
Do you get my e-zine?
No, but I can find it.
Because I think there was a link in my last e-zine.
Okay, I'll take a peek. I'll see if I can find it. And then I have a little store in Santa Cruz, up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and it's called Three Sisters, Three Corners. And I've been talking up the nourishing herbal infusions big time. And I have little baggies of, I know it's kind of whatever, but I'm getting lots of people trying them, and it's really working.
Hey.
It's super exciting. Yeah. And I have been told that my herbs are better than the local herbs for herbs, and I get them from Frontier just like you. So it's pretty awesome to know that that's the quality. Yeah. Okay, so then the fourth thing
let's see.
I think.
I am at Zhujana's Facebook page. And they're talking about, you know, when you need to get there and when the schedule is going to be out. But I'm not seeing how you can register for the festival.
I'm friends
so
with
I will
Ellen.
Ask her.
I'll talk to
she
her
can
about
be
it
on
too,
tonight.
She can
She's
do.
A guest tonight. And I will
oh,
ask
perfect.
Her to
I
tell
think.
Everyone how they can register. I know that's what she wants. She wants you to know how to do that. So she will.
Yeah, of course.
And I have the info, Susan. I can tell you right now, if you go to the conference homepage, which is Goddess, GoddessFest.com.
Okay.
Go there. And then on the
GoddessFest.com, and you got it. Hey, there you go.
GoddessFest.com. Goddess-Fest. HashFest.com. And the registration is right there on
HashFest. Yes, I remember that. I remember that the original link they gave us didn't have that dash and it didn't work.
Yeah, dash in the middle. Goddess dash.
Goddess dash fest.
Okay.
Yeah, because I put in Goddess Fest and I got a screen full of all kinds of Goddess Festivals. Hip, hip, hooray.
thank you. So then the final thing I've actually been wanting to call you about for a couple months because it was pretty dramatic and educational experience. So here in the Santa Cruz Mountains, you know, we have a fair amount of rattlesnakes up in the mountains, and we own a couple acres of property in the CZU fire burn zone. And so we spend a lot of time up there gardening, working in our old veggie gardens and stuff like that that are now becoming our herb gardens. And I was up there with my 10-year-old and my 6-year-old, and we were sitting around in the garden weeding and pulling stuff. And my son had the garden knife. And I didn't even, you know, I was paying attention to him, but it wasn't like I felt like I needed to babysit his every move. And he had found a hole. It was a gopher or a vole hole. And, you know, I kind of was watching him out of the corner of my eye, and he stabbed in the hole, and then he stuck his hand in the hole, and he screamed in pain because he had just gotten bit by a rattlesnake. And it was a little baby rattlesnake. And so I had OSHA on hand because I knew, because I've been listening to you for so long, I knew, you know, the year before the fire, we had come across over 12 rattlesnakes in a 3-month period. So, you know, we find them in December when it's really warm, blah, blah, blah. So, anyhow, so I had the OSHA, we gave him OSHA right away, and then we started chewing up plantain and spitting it on his wound. As, you know, as quick as possible. And it was extremely painful. And his hands started to swell up a little bit. And we got him calmed down. He was terrified he was going to die. But as soon as, you know, we calmed him down, I said, I've been, you know, learning a lot about this and figuring out what to do. And we finally ended up in the emergency room. And I remember in the past I had mentioned anti-venom was problematic. They asked about it, and they said that it was no longer made with horse serum.
You are breaking up so much, and I am on the edge of my seat, because I really want to hear the story.
Sorry.
So I got the part where you put the plantain on it and calmed him down, and then after that you broke up so much, I really haven't been able to piece it together.
Okay. So we got the plantain on. Is that better now?
Much better, thank you.
Okay. So we got the plantain. And that really helped relieve the pain to the point of which he was laughing in the car, right? So on the way, we ended up going to the ER, and they gave him the anti-venom. But before they gave him the anti-venom, I asked about it because I was concerned that it would be problematic. And they said that it was no longer made with horse serum, and that was the reason it was problematic, was because it was dirty, and it had all kinds of different things in it. And so now it's a synthetic one. And so they gave him 10 vials of the anti-venom and at $600 a pop. And then they rushed us over to Stanford Hospital so they could monitor his heart and everything throughout the night. And he got bit on the finger, on his middle finger. And so, you know, we just kept him slow, kept his heart rate low, you know, kept him calm, told him he was going to be okay. And once we got over to Stanford, you know, we got checked throughout the night. He did fine. He really, what they were worried about was watching his arm swell up from the finger up. And so they had a little way to measure it. And if it was getting bigger, then they were worried they were going to give him more antivenom. They ended up not needing to take more antivenom. And interestingly, the doctor at the original ER, Dominican, he happened to have dealt with lots of snake bites. And he was like, no, you have to do this with the anti-venom, and so we did. And then when we got to Stanford, the guy doing rounds, the doctor doing rounds the next morning, he was a rattlesnake expert. It was like a miracle. And I learned a few things. The first thing is that you can get dry bites, because especially if it's an older rattlesnake, because they can only reproduce their venom because it's a complex protein every 3 weeks. So if they bite something and kill it, they have to wait 3 weeks to be able to use their venom again.
In Costa Rica, they told me that the venomous snakes require so much energy to make the venom that the snake literally can't move for a day after it bites something.
Right.
It's very expensive, this venom stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So they only move 20% of their lives. That was one thing I already knew because I'd researched it because they were there and I wanted to know, like, what was my likelihood of coming across one. The other thing we learned is that if it's a dry bite and it doesn't swell up, you know, basically you've got like 2 or 3 hours, and if you have no reaction, then you've got a dry bite, so you don't have to worry about it. And it should hurt if it's not a dry bite, if it's venom. And, you know, basically because it's no longer a poison product, it's safe. Just wanted to share that with you. Those were all my
lessons. Thank you.
The other thing was one day at the ICU at the Stanford Children's Hospital was $85,000. And it had to be paid by insurance, which we did have. So, but
woo!
I can't believe we live in a world that if that's the case, it just doesn't make any sense.
Wow. That is pretty darn pricey. My gosh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely, he's proud of the fact he's part of the snake, the rattlesnake clan. And his hand is totally healed.
He's been initiated. Good on him.
Yep. And his no nerve damage, his hand is totally healed. And I really do believe that the OSHA and the plantain really helped. It was awesome. We got some yarrow on there. And plantain is actually called snake plant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And so is OSHA. OSHA's called, you know, rattlesnake root.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have made the team
to OSHA on you that the rattlesnakes don't like the smell and they'll go away. And if they're so silly as to bite you, then you chew up the OSHA root, swallow it, and spit some on the bite.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. That's definitely a worthwhile thing. Up at our property, we have little necklaces with some OSHA in it. But that's my report for you.
Well, thank
you. One super quick last thing. I've just helped whelp. I actually just helped mama whelp, a mama dog whelp, 13 puppies. And I used Juliet's book.
Oh, my gosh.
Exclusively, and it was incredible.
I hope she was a biggish dog.
What's that? Yes, she's a Mastiff. She's a Dogo Argentino Mastiff. And the dad was Mastiff, too, so they're large dogs. So. But the book came in, and it was indispensable. So.
I'm so glad.
For anybody who has animals. So, anyways, that's all.
Thank you
so much for inspiring the woman culture in my life. It's really wonderful. Eliani is a really good friend of mine.
Yay, Eliani.
Yeah.
Give her a big hug from me next time you see her.
I will, for sure. All right. Green blessings.
Green blessings. Good night.
Good night.
And it's about 11 and a half minutes before we're joined by Judith.
Oh.
There's two hands that are up, so we'll go right to you in the 845. In the 845, you are live with Susan.
How could you?
Hi.
Hi.
Are you being nervous talking to Susan?
No.
I'm so nervous. I was just talking to her.
My question for tonight is, I have more than 7 years post-shingle neuralgia. It drives me crazy. It burns my skin. I notice my skin in general became much more sensitive everywhere else except not only the place where I had the shingles. And I am not good at taking medication, as you know me, so I'm asking you if there is anything I don't know about healing the pain naturally.
Well, let's go over what hasn't worked. Hypericum, St. John's wort, has not worked very well for you. That would be my first thing, and I would say to take a dropper full every 15 minutes. for at least 24 to 36 hours in this kind of situation. But it's not the kind of thing that you're willing to do.
No, 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 wait a minute. What I take for my heart is not compatible with Hypericum. I almost killed myself not knowing it.
It's not true. Not true. Hypericum is compatible with all drugs.
It happened to me that I Hypericum, and I almost collapsed as if I had no bones and no muscles, and I thought, oh, now he's
dead. I understand, but I do not agree with you that it was because of the Hypericum. I understand what happened to you.
No.
I don't agree that it was the Hypericum, because Hypericum...
You can disagree, but it's written on the side effects of the medication that I take that it should not include Hypericum.
You should not take dried Hypericum, not tincture. They're not talking about what I'm talking about at all.
Okay.
Remind you that I put on a conference about this plant, and that at this conference, 22 people presented, and those 22 people together had about 800 years of experience, direct experience with Hypericum, and none of them has ever seen any interaction between any drug, anywhere, anytime, and Hypericum tincture.
I have it. I know what you're talking about. And I'm not going to take...
The medical books, when they say you can't take Hypericum, they mean a pill of the dried powdered plant. And I agree. Don't take a pill of the dried powdered Hypericum.
I understand that. However, if I take a supplement, I get sick. I went to an alternative
doctor. I am not
doctor.
Suggesting a supplement. A tincture is not a supplement. Dried powdered herbs are...
I'm not talking about Hypericum. I'm trying to tell you that something in the fact that I was born starved has to do with the fact that even taking a supplement of a B12 or whatever I need, it makes me unwell.
The supplements are drugs. They're not herbs. It's like saying, when I'm run over by a car, I get hurt if I'm suggesting walking. It's totally not in the same realm at all. Supplements are not actual foods. They're not herbs. They're drugs. They're made in laboratories.
Yes, that's right.
And the fact that some places refer to herbs, especially herbs that are dried, and powdered and put in capsules as supplements doesn't make them the same as something that's been produced in a lab. Basically, the law in the United States is that if you sell something as a supplement, then there aren't any real legal requirements about what's in your bottle. And that's why herbs are called supplements, so that they can sell you anything. And believe me, when regulatory agencies look into herbal supplements, dry powdered herbs in capsules, what they find is horrifying. Herbs, too much of some herbs, less of other herbs. It's not a good show to ever take a dried herb in a capsule. But a tincture is not a supplement.
Well, I took a tincture at the time, but I don't want to discuss it now. The problem is I still have the pain, and I can't use Hypericum for it. I'm sure
You could use Hypericum, and I understand that you don't want to. I totally understand, and that's what I said. You don't want to. You're not willing to. I understand that.
whatever your reasons, which I don't agree with at all. I know that if you were to do this, it would get rid of the pain. But we've been going around on this for 4 years.
That this is
what I see over and over again, and that you have this belief, which I find completely unfounded.
No, it's not.
It's like my saying the reason the sun comes up in the morning is because the birds sing. And you would say, wait a second, Susan, no, the sun actually doesn't even really come up. It only appears to come up because the earth is turning. And I go, no. Every morning before the sun comes up, the birds sing. I can see its cause and effect. But I can't. This is why we do double-blind studies with thousands of people, because we can't ever really tell what cause is. So I hear your belief. I know that no human being can tell what a cause and effect is, and that most of the time when we say this caused that, the vast majority of the time we're wrong. Anyhow, you do not wish to use hypericum tincture. Has mother wort helped at all? Skullcap, oat straw infusion? Do you drink nourishing herbal infusions every day?
No. Every other day, not every day.
A quart a day, every other day?
The hypericum story is not an opinion. It's something that happened to me that I took it, and it has...
The opinion is that it caused that to happen. That's an opinion. You don't know that. You don't.
Well, I
there's a man in Boston who's been trying to find someone who's lactose intolerant for his entire life. For 40 years, he's been looking for people who are lactose intolerant. Now, he has tens of thousands of people who show up at his doorstep saying, I know I am lactose intolerant. When I drink milk, this is what happens to me. And then he studies them, he puts them through various things, and none of them are lactose intolerant, despite the fact that they will swear up and down, like you do, that these things happen to them when they drink milk. I understand. Believe me. I understand where you're at and that you're not willing to use hypericum. I understand. But that doesn't mean you couldn't. It doesn't mean it wouldn't work for you. It would. But you're not willing to do it. And that's okay. So then you should be drinking your nourishing herbal infusion every day if you're not going to use hypericum. And you should really focus on the parts of the nourishing herbal infusion rotation that are especially good for the nervous system, like oat straw and red clover. Both really known for helping to restore good nervous functioning.
Yeah, I do take those.
At the Hypericum conference, one of the things we learned was that homeopaths use hypericum in the same way that herbalists do. And people who are, for whatever reason, frightened of using hypericum or unwilling to use hypericum often get the same benefit by using it homeopathically.
I see. Okay. So there is nothing else that I can use, and I have a meeting.
Not that
now.
There's nothing else. You can drink a quart of nourishing herbal infusion a day. That's definitely something you can do. You can try using skullcap tincture, which often makes people very sleepy. You can try using motherwort tincture.
Motherwort, yes, I take that.
It's like if you said, I want to mow my lawn, and I said, okay, here's a lawnmower, and you said, well, do I have any other choice? Well, yeah, you have other choices. You don't have to use a lawnmower. It just happens to be the right tool for that task and the most convenient and the thing that will get that task done really, really well. But you could go out there with, you know, and cut your grass.
I don't, did you ask me a question?
Hypericum is specific for this problem.
Okay.
It's the lawnmower.
I heard you, yes. Okay.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. And if you want to use the actual tincture, then I urge you to use the homeopathic.
I need to find the homeopath.
Because there's
for
none of the actual plant in the homeopathic remedy. So there's nothing to worry about. You can't have a reaction to it because it's there's nothing there.
Do I need a certain amount, or I buy it in a store, or I have to go to a homeopathic doctor, which I can't?
I would guess that homeopathic hypericum, which is a standard remedy, is available at Sunflower.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
I know they do sell homeopathic remedies there. And as I said, hypericum is so useful and used for so many things that I would be very shocked if it's not there.
Thank you. I have to run now. I have a meeting starting that I need to participate in it at exactly.
Wonderful.
Night.
Thanks for your call. Dream blessings. Good night.
All right. I'm looking for Jujana in the queue. I am not seeing her, but I have her number here, so I can go ahead and get her dialed in. Let's just check this one because it is coming from her area code.
What's this right here? Is there a
no.
Right there?
Okay. All right. I will dial in Jujana, Susan. And do you want to introduce her, or I have to disappear? So
I will introduce her while you are calling her.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Jujana Z. Budapest was born in Hungary in 1940, 6 years before I was born, and emigrated to the United States in 1959. She grew up respecting and appreciating Mother Nature as God. Following her family's spiritual tradition, she ultimately started the Women's Spirituality Movement. She founded the Susan B. Anthony Coven No. 1, the first feminist Witches Coven, which became the role model for thousands of other spiritual groups that were born and spread across the nation. Jujana Budapest is the author of great many books. The first of her books that I found was the acclaimed Holy Book of Women's Mysteries, which actually I found in 1975 as a feminist book of lights and shadows. It served as the first hands-on guide, leading women into their own goddess heritage, their spiritual heritage as women. The Holy Book of Women's Mysteries contains just about everything you need to know, and then some, for actualizing a goddess-centered lifestyle. And she then went on to write Goddess in the Bedroom and Goddess in the Office and a bunch of goddess in the book, so you can take the goddess right into your life. Jujana leads rituals. She's lectured, taught classes, workshops, written articles tirelessly, and published in hundreds of women's newspapers and sources across the country. She has powerfully influenced many teachers and writers about the goddess, myself included. This time with Jujana is for any woman who wants to know more about yourself, about your spirituality, and about the goddess movement, primarily by getting you to come to the Goddess-Fest, which is going to be happening just a month from now in the Redwoods of California. And you've heard this story before, how the woman upset at her husband for cutting down all the redwoods, and he died, and she was left with the land and donated it to become a huge public area. It's a camp, a place that people can come and be with these old-growth redwoods. And talk about elders. Oh, my goodness, just to be in the presence of these trees is such a gift. How are you doing, Sarah Ellen? Have you gotten through to her?
I reached only her voicemail, and I have sent her a message as well to dial in. I know that we have a 3-hour time difference, and she she was confirming our start time with me today, but I'm not seeing her here. So Z, if you're here with a different number, raise your hand by pressing 1. I don't see your area code of 831 or the rest of your number in the queue. I can try ringing her again, but I'm not seeing her yet.
Well, I'll talk a little bit, and then we'll give her another call and see if we can raise her. Zhujana, home that I have been in a great many times, is decorated with her mother's art. Her mother was an artist who made her living as an artist and did public works and was deeply involved in the goddess. In fact, what Zhujana told us when we first met her was that she was a hereditary witch, that her mother was a witch and her grandmother was a witch as well. And that what she is sharing with us is not kind of, as I have seen in other places, a pastiche of kind of New Age, Native American, shamanic, you know, stuff. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not easily understood. What Zhujana offers us and has offered us all of this time is a connection to women's culture, what we've been talking about all night here, women's culture, that this is an actual lineage of women's culture. I've been writing about my native grandmothers. I have a energy that has brought me into contact with a great many native people. I sometimes recount the story of my first time in New Zealand, and we were at a museum, and there were Maori women there weaving feathered cloaks. There was an exhibit on feathered cloaks, and they actually had women making the feathered cloaks right there. And I was looking at one of the women making a cloak. They're just sitting there weaving the cloaks. You can just, you know, walk right up to them. And I was kind of looking over her shoulders. In fact, this was pretty close to her and really watching what she was doing. And she turned to me and she said, "Are you just back home?" And I couldn't quite understand what she was saying. At first, it didn't make any sense to me. And then I understood that she thought that I was native to New Zealand, and that actually, as the conversation unrolled, she thought I was a Maori. And she said, "Oh, no, I just, you know, your energy is the energy, right, of our people." And I have, in fact, heard this a great many places. Your energy is the energy of our people. So I feel welcomed in. I feel included in, into the traditions of a great many places, and I'm very thankful for that. But what strikes me the strongest is to hear those chords from my ancestors. I'm Susan, daughter of Monica, daughter of Anna, daughter of We Don't Know. And we don't know because the witches were burned. How do we know that there are any at all? Because many of them escaped to Hungary. Many of them escaped to where Zhujana comes from. It was the safe place during the burning times. So for me to meet Zhujana and to have my fledgling understanding of the goddess be clothed in the women of my lineage, even if I don't know their names, this is the part of the world that they were from. And I resonate deeply with that. We all resonate with beauty. We all resonate with a drumbeat. We all resonate with chanting and dancing. These are traditional things that all traditional people do. But when it comes to the symbols and the archetypes, then it starts to be culturally significant. How are we doing now? Have you gotten her?
I have not yet reached her. I will try again. I've been sending messages with the phone number to make sure she's got it to dial into, but I'm still not seeing her number here. So let me hop off and try one more thing.
All right. Of all of the rituals that we do at this wonderful Goddess Fest, the one that I love the most is the Ages of Woman. And you've heard from me that at Moon Lodge, and there'll be a Moon Lodge this Friday for part of Green Goddess Week, that I seat women in age order. There's something very special about sitting with your elder to your left and your younger to your, I'm sorry, your elder to your right and your younger to the left. So the older women are to the right of you. And the gathering at the Redwoods is so large that we wouldn't be able to hear each other if we sat in a circle and did that. So what Zhuzhanna does is from the very first day, she encourages women of like decades of age, the teens, the 20s, 30s, da-da-da, to get together and to create some short theater piece to talk about what it's like to be in that decade of life, or to show, or to dance, or sing about what it's like to be in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 50s, whatever it is. And we gather at the amphitheater. That in itself is just incredible. It's a fair walk. Some women drive up there. I love to walk. It's a meandering uphill trail through the woods and just my delight. And then you come up, 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 and the amphitheater goes down. It's dug down into the earth, so you're up at the utmost part. And there are guides and ushers to help move you into the amphitheater should you need some help. And you gather with your age group. And most of the time, rather than going individually to sit, we line up in age order and then enter the amphitheater with the oldest leading us in and the youngest at the very end of the group. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes we just go and sit down, depending on what's happening. But certainly for the last few that I've been at, we have entered the whole amphitheater in age order in an incredible procession that, again, is just stunning for its simplicity and yet its inherent power. And then each group presents what it's like to be in that decade of life. So we have an evening of entertaining each other with the Decades of Life ceremony. So delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is delicious. I went only the one time, and I long to go back. It is amazing. And the rituals you talked about, and the dancing around the fire, oh, so much, so much. Very special. I am not seeing the... So no success, no luck on my end. I have reached out to Allie. But yeah,
I'm envisioning her out in her garden. She's a beautiful garden. She has a house, a very suburban house, you know, with a fenced little yard out back and a little bit, you know, a garage and a driveway and then houses, you know, lawns right next to her where she can walk the dog. And she's
she's planted it all. There's fruiting trees and grapevines and flowering plants and herbs and just everything delicious and beautiful and wonderful. It truly is an incredible expression of the goddess herself there at Zhuzhana's house, both inside and out.
Fun. I saw her dog in that one in the Zoom. And do you know the dog's name? She was so cute.
She is a cute dog, isn't she?
So cute. Well,
the Goddess Festival is every other year, not every year. So don't be saying to yourself, oh, well, I'll go next year, because it'll be a couple of years. And, we were teasing about how every year we say, oh, this could be the last year we go to Gretchen's. And truly, it could be. We just really never know, from one year to the next, if Gretchen's going to be up for it, able for it, and so on. And Zhuzhana kind of tells us the same thing. She always says, well, I wouldn't count on there ever being another one. You should come to this one. And yet somehow she has managed to continue it on and continue it on and continue it on. How wonderful. So what else can we say? Susan B., Anthony, Coven, number one, was, as she said, the first feminist coven. Just a wee bit of history. The Order of the Golden Dawn, which included Aleister Crowley, a very big name in magic, and Pamela Coleman Smith, whose name you may or may not know. Pamela Coleman Smith is the woman responsible for the Rider-Waite tarot deck. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't have her name on it. It has the name of two men. Ha ha. He he. And their kind of witchcraft was a very yin-yang witchcraft, which was based on the movement of energy between the male pole and the female pole, the chalice and the blade, literally. The woman holds the chalice, the man holds the blade. And the magic is done with the magical tools that require the circle itself to be alternating men and women. This is sometimes known as Gardnerian magic. And that's pretty much where it was for 75 years, the Order of the Golden Dawn to the 70s, when Zhuzhana started saying there's another kind of magic, and it's called Dianic. And Diana, of course, is the goddess of the moon. Diana is Artemis. Diana is Selene. Diana is the woman who is whole unto herself. She is the virgin. By virgin, we do not mean sexually inexperienced. We mean a woman who has no need or use for men. This is the original meaning of virgin. We still use it in that way. If we say that's a virgin forest, we don't mean that nobody's been having sex with that forest now, do we? We mean that that is a forest that is on its own terms and that doesn't need anyone and that has not been, to put it rather bluntly, interfered with by men, or seen as a resource by men. Virgin, entire and whole unto herself. Dianic witchcraft. Woman has energy enough
to do magic. It may be true that men can't do magic unless they have women in the circle. I truly don't know. Because blessed be, thank you, Zhuzhanna, I was brought into my magic in this way. I was brought into the Dianic tradition. I was brought in by having a red string wrapped around my waist. And I was told that the rituals and the ceremonies that I was to create, the covens and the magic, were part of my woman's culture. And for me, literally a part of my personal historical culture. So, wow, that's really a big difference. If you go out to gatherings of witches, you will find that there are very few Dianic witches. We already see some of the waves that we cause by saying that women have a culture and that women have a right to celebrate their culture in gatherings of mothers, grandmothers, sisters, granddaughters, daughters, nieces, and aunts. That women have a right to be in a space in which double X is the only thing allowed. Woman. Born. Woman. Thank you for helping awaken me to my culture as a woman, which had been pretty severely hidden from me. I remember Zhuzhanna and Merlin Stone talking one day, and Merlin was talking about how she wanted to write about the goddess for her doctoral thesis. And her advisor said, "There's no goddess, Merlin. What are you talking about? How could you possibly write a doctorate about something that doesn't even exist?" And she said, "Well, you know, there's these figurines." She said, "Those are fertility fetishes. That doesn't have anything to do with the goddess." And yet Merlin Stone knew that there was a goddess, she told us. And you could see Zhuzhanna just glowing and grinning and being so happy. And Merlin telling us how she would go into a used bookstore and books would fall at her feet or they would hum. And when she said the books would hum, the transcendent joy on Zhuzhanna's face was a treasured memory that I can call up even today. And she broke into a laugh and she said to Merlin, she said, "Ah, the goddess was right there." She says, "The oldest women's right is the right, R-I-T-E, the right of the hum." And if we look in antiquities, we see that the goddess is associated with the bee over and over and over again, so much so that Melissa, the word that means honey, is a word that's used for a priestess, that the priestess is the Melissa. She is the honey bee. Hum with me. And when we hum, Zhuzhanna goes around and she puts her hand on the top of each woman's head and she says, "Hum to my hand, make your skull vibrate. So take your own hand and put it on your head. What do you have to do to make your skull vibrate? You have to get it more in your humming you up, Zhuzhanna. We're humming to you, Zhuzhanna. All of the Melissas are humming to you, Zhuzhanna. The honeybees are humming, Zhuzhanna. We are beating our wings. We are beating our wings to evaporate the nectar. We are beating our wings and humming for you, Zhuzhanna." And so what a delight to see the guises of the goddess. And Merlin did write her thesis, and it came out as a book called When God Was a Woman, tracing back our ancient, ancient matrifocal story, the woman-centered story. The absolute truth, which is that there is no person alive who is not born of a woman. Now, of course, the Romans tried to get around that, didn't they? Athena was born right from her father's head. Sure thing. Huh? Right. They might want to think that. And that's why Athena is so often seen as the patriarchal goddess, right? The woman who, like, takes a man's part there. The woman who, like Coulter says, women don't need to vote. They have husbands. Their husbands can vote. Have you heard that?
Not in any time recent. No, I've not heard that. That's crazy.
Oh, this is very, Ann Coulter, very current.
Oh, goodness.
I bet you wouldn't be at all surprised to learn she's Republican.
Wow. I do know who she is. I haven't seen her in a long time.
Yes, she's leading a movement to take the vote away from women, because women don't need to vote.
Oh, that's outlandish.
She's even said that if we take the vote away from women, then we never have to worry about ever having another Democratic or liberal president.
Wow. Yet she has this mouthpiece to speak through to all of these women to let them know that they should disempower themselves. That's insane.
Right? Like, okay. Not me. Not me. My Susan B. Anthony. My namesake. All right, Susan, up there in my own state of New York, aided and abetted by the Great Peaceful Nations, the women of the Great Peaceful Nations, who, believe me, have a culture. And I've been writing about it at Facebook and getting so many wonderful thanks from women about sharing my experience with matrilineal and matrifocal culture and what that means and what that is. And then I've been having a lot of fun going around and finding out about other matrilineal and matrifocal cultures. And I was shocked at how many of the indigenous people here on Turtle Island in North America are matrilineal or matrifocal. It's not just the Great Peaceful Nations. The Sioux, the Hopi,
wow.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're not going to be raising Zhuzhana. I am glad that we figured out that it's goddess-fest.com. Goddess, G-O-D-D-E-S-S, goddess-fest.com should get you to the Goddess Festival in the Redwoods, where Zhuzhana will be, and I will be, and we're hoping that you will be there. Two, last I heard, Goddess Festival, there it is, goddessfest.com. The goddess is alive, and magic is afoot about Goddess Festival registration. Badonga, that's easy. All right. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Get yourself over to goddess-fest.com. Come and join Susan and Zhuzhana and lots of other really amazing women. The schedule's not out yet, so I can't tell you exactly who, but keep listening. Maybe next week or the week after that we'll be able to tell you. Sarah Ellen, I'm so glad you're in my life. Thank you so much for being such a boon companion, such a good plant buddy, and just so Every time I look out my window and enjoy the hummingbird, I send you a little kiss. I love you.
Oh.
Thanks for helping me or herbal medicine to its rightful place as people's medicine and for helping to reweave the healing cloak of the ancients. We're sorry we couldn't raise Zhuzhana tonight. Perhaps she got the time wrong or she's sitting in her garden enjoying beautiful sunset there in California. Green blessings, everyone, and good night.
I love you, Susan.